You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspiration. Hello, David.
Hello,
and welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And as you will hear, that Jeremy's not in studio today. Hope you're having a good holiday, Jeremy. You deserve it. Enjoy.
Yes.
And we'll just do this one without him.
Yeah, he deserves a holiday.
He deserves it. He works hard. He works hard. So, Sue, look, it's, you know, with gardening, it's, we sort of everything always ties into each other. So I thought we would speak a little bit more about fertilizers today. Really, because I've had a week of having to manage fertilizers and all that. So we'll just go through the difference between the types of fertilizers, types of inorganic fertilizers, and then obviously organic fertilizers. Organic being, you know, nature will do its thing. And the smells, yes. But it seems like water is a good to kill the smell is yes. Normally water when you've got like manure or something like that. So, as I said, we'll just have a chat. If anyone wants to ask any questions, they can. But, yeah, so I think I'll just kick off too. We're going to – what is the best type of fertilizer? And as we know, a fertilizer is based on a formula, which is NPK. And I always say it to clients, as soon as you learn that and understand it, it's pretty straightforward knowing what you need. N standing for nitrogen, and obviously P is for your phosphates, and your K is for potassium. Nitrogen is a wonderful, you know, you look for nitrogen. And again, what's important about knowing how to use a fertilizer is to basically look at your plants, see what's going on, and then you need to decide what the deficiency looks like, or, you know, so if you see a little bit of yellowing in a plant, normally you'll find that it's just like a little bit of a lack of nitrogen or something. I always tell clients that pots are probably the hardest things to manage because, you know, the roots take the fertilizer out the ground quite quickly. So you want to put back stuff in there, and that's why I always recommend liquid feed, et cetera, et cetera. But let's
So the liquid feed is obviously for the pots.
Liquid feed. So liquid feed, obviously what's lovely about liquid is it gets through the soil and straight to the roots, and then the plants can absorb what they need from there. And, I mean, as we say, we live in 2024. Everything's designed out there. So you can buy pretty much anything that's high in nitrogen or potassium or what you need in the liquid form.
Yes.
Obviously, a fertilizer chemical is a good way to go. We all know that like chemical fertilizers is unnatural. It's been synthesized, but if you use it in balance with the nature and do it properly, you'll find that it does reap good benefits and results. Too much fertilizing of anything, lawns, whatever, can cause leaching, as we call it, out the soil. You can actually remove your nutrients, because what happens is you sort of adding to it and hyperactivating those nutrients, and then the plants get this wonderful quick nourishment. So I'm quite a balanced feeder. I like to feed an organic feed fertilizer with a chemical fertilizer for the same thing. And you'll normally find that an organic fertilizer is something that lasts that we call it like a 6 month release. So you can put down an organic pellet and it actually lasts for a period of time. The chemical fertilizers, you have to sort of put down water to activate it and get it going. You want to be careful with your chemical fertilizer. As you just heard, you need to make sure that you do water sort of immediately. Chemical, if you put the 411 on your lawn, for example, in the middle of summer, Sue, what will happen is you will definitely burn your grass. So I had a client around the corner here who just threw fertilizer on, and unfortunately, it's, you know, I always tell people our job. In fact, I remember doing my very first introduction was with Richard Griggs a year ago, or years back.
Yes.
And I remember him sitting with me in studio. And once we had a bit of a conversation, he actually turned to me and he says, "Sure, Dave, you know, I've just realized listening to you, you actually almost have to be a scientist. You have to be a nature lover. You have to be, you know, understand your growth, you know, what not to kill." There's a lot that comes with it.
And that is so true.
Yeah, because, you know, if you do the wrong thing, Sue, you spray the wrong products on the plant, you can have death and dieback and chaos and destruction, you know. So you've got to have a general understanding. And same goes with people just think, oh, it's a fertilizer. But if you're not applying it to the right So we've learned over the years, but if you basically want to pour something into your hand, see how much you can hold, put that in like a measuring cup, and then you'll know that you can pretty much hold 50 grams of fertilizer, for example.
Yes.
Now, when you read the packaging, it's very important with everything in life. You know, we get those instruction manuals that nobody reads, but there's a reason they come with it.
Yes. But sometimes it's such a fine print that you need a magnifying glass to kind of bold the print.
I saw a joke over the weekend. Funny enough, it's like, yeah, you know you're getting old when you take your phone, take a picture of something so you can zoom in on your phone to read it. But yeah, you're not wrong, Sue, but that is the fine print, is it? But it's very important, Sue, because as I said, this wonderful client of mine went to feed their grass.
Yes.
And unfortunately, they've actually ended up killing pretty much patches quite heavily because they've taken such heavy amounts of chemical feed and just sort of, it's almost clumped in piles
on
the
grass.
So it
wasn't balanced.
No,
it wasn't balanced.
Not balanced at all, yeah. and has burnt areas, yeah. And then obviously wasn't watered in. And, you know, so, and that's what I love giving advice. So, you can always phone call away.
Well, that's
Harry Gimmons.
That is why it's so awesome to have you, to have you on radio as well. Because people, the topics that we have is, some people want to ask, they don't know who to ask, and this is the way you learn.
Yeah, live and learn, as we always say. But yes. It's always nice when somebody is so keen to pass on knowledge of the industry. And I find that's what I love about listening to the shows that you have, that are not me, but, the paintsmiths with
us,
Mark Jabir all of that.
Anderson Improvements. And,
Home Improvements.
Home Improvements.
And mechanicals. But anyway, so let me... I'm going to just read a little bit off here for you, Sue, so people can get a bit of an understanding. So the best type of fertilization always requires the use of the best fertilizers. The best type of fertilizer for your plants depends on what you are trying to grow and what types of soil you have, which obviously is very important. You've got to know what area you're in. We know that we're quite a sandy area over here. However, in saying that, a lot of homes have known that and they've organified and put some good ground down. So it's not so bad this side. If you're growing vegetables in your garden, you will want to choose a fertilizer that has a high levels of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, which is what we discussed, which is the NPK. And just going back to it, so nitrogen helps produce the green leaves and stems, phosphorus helps produce root development, and potassium helps the plant withstand stress from the heat or cold. So, when you're planting a big shrub or something, you will always, or lawn even, you want to, your initial fertilizer that you put in the hole will be very high in phosphates. You're not really trying to put nitrogen in a hole because the nitrogen is caused by photosynthesis. So you'll find that you'll use, there's a product called superphosphate, which is a fantastic product.
You've mentioned this.
It's pretty much it pretty much goes under the ground. Another wonderful one, but I've learned not to really use it, unfortunately, is bone meal. It's just the best one, organic in its own essence. But the problem with bone meal is if you just don't know if that pesky neighbor's cats or dogs get in, and they smell it because it's 100% bone. And I learned very hard when I first started my job business that, I had a client that planted our pots and I planted everything, and he had two Alsatians, and he phoned me the day quite upset, and the Alsatians had literally pulled up all the plants in the pots just trying to get to the bone, there's nothing you can do about it. So
that's nature, isn't it?
It's nature. Yeah, you live and learn, and I suppose, but just make sure you do the right products. Yeah. And then you'll find the potassium is for any flowering or fruiting plant, like roses. Love our roses and anything.
Talk about roses. How's your roses doing? You said it wasn't doing too well not so long ago.
No, I've pruned them back. I've gone a bit heavy. I mean, again, something about gardening is you do have time frames, but you can't always stick to a time frame. Yes. You've got to just you learn to know your garden.
Yeah,
but you
did say your roses were looking sad.
Yeah. Remember, I found with roses that you'll know when your roses have been in long enough. So, for example, the clients that I have in Constantia, they're 250 roses. They are old roses. The base stems are this thick and they're old. So, when we prune those quite heavily, and they come back beautifully every year. But you'll know that if you plant out your rose bed and it's only a year old, I lost two or three roses. Yes. And it's just part of the learning curve. Like, why didn't they grow? I mean, I had a mole issue on the one that was eating the roots. But you just eventually know. And then the ones that just take and grow and are hardy, you look at what that hybrid was, for example, and maybe put another one or two of those in. So that's the one lovely thing about gardening. You can always, I always say to people, that's why I have a job forever, because somebody without offending anybody can cut a tree terribly and it looks bad, in a year it's grown back, and in 2 years it needs another trim, and they're going to get somebody maybe a bit better to trim it this time, So that's why I always love what I do, and it's always nice to see. What I love to do is I love to cut in that and then go back a year later and see the results. Because when I work, I don't look for tomorrow. I look for a year, yes. 2, 3, 4 years down the line, what is the goal? And I've learned not to, and you know, we always talk about flow. I've learned not to fight nature. For example, you know, if you've got a big tree in your garden and your grass isn't doing so well, then don't try and grow grass. Mm. Make it a big indigenous shade-loving bed or something under the tree, yes. For example, you know. And it's just easier to move and flow like that.
I love a garden. I love a beautiful garden.
Yes.
I just don't have those green fingers because everything I touch
yeah, 100%.
Work. But I love looking at it. But
no,
then again,
100%.
Michael's got, he's a gardener.
Have a gardener. Oh, that's yes. So cool. But wow. I find that's something that I think I'm learning quite well. I've learned and I'm still learning every day, which I love. But gardening is a patience thing. You know, I'm not the best patience person in the world, but I find with the gardens, you have to have patience. You know, you got to try something. If it doesn't work, you move on. And, you know, it can get very technical, Sue. And that's what I was saying to you earlier about, you know, Sham, some people just expect you to come and mow the lawns and everything must be healthy, but it doesn't work that way.
No.
If something's not working well, you could have a cutworm or a cricket or a whatever, and you've got to figure out why, and you've got to do these tests. So, for example, and I'm sort of veering around, but I suppose that's what happens with all the topics, but cutworm and mole, lawn cricket are quite bad at this time of year. You'll find that, and fungus sets in because of the coldness and the water sits.
Yes.
But a very easy way is to take like a wet towel, and if you're worried about an area of your grass, and remember, if it's just a bit of advice, if it's already, the patch is already bad on your lawn, don't put it over the patch. You want to put it next to the patch. Because remember,
okay.
If a lawn cricket's eating, it's already killed that patch. And
yes.
What happens is they'll move out with the grass. So put it next to it and put a damp towel down, and you'll come back in the morning. And nature's an amazing thing. Just where you put your wet damp towel down, you'll find if you lift it, all the cutworms or crickets that are on there will have come to the surface. Because they actually suffocate. I can't explain it. Oh, and they'll just come up, and then you can actually get a bit of a visual of what you're dealing with. We all know that the pesky insects and that, which are not so pesky, we need them around, you know.
Yes.
But they always attack in the middle of the night or first thing in the morning.
Amazing.
Yeah, like moles. Believe it or not, moles like to run between 3 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Yes.
It's weird. But that's their time, and that's why whenever you deal with moles, you'll find that you want to get up early in the morning, and you do like a 7-day process where you check every morning. I mean, look, there's not much you can do with moles, though, Sue. They're an endangered species. You've got to let them. I love this. Something I love always about Jock on the show. He's always very gentle with nature.
Yeah.
Look, let it run a bit, and then eventually it stops, you know.
Yeah.
But I do love my lawn, as you know. So I've got moles and puppies
so
now.
You've just got to let them roam.
100%. 100%.
But they are cute, aren't they? They are menace, but they're cute looking.
Yeah, they're very cute, man. I mean, they're tiny, you know. I've got a little runner mole. But anyway.
Yeah.
And then potassium helps the plants withstand stress from the heat to cold. And then a good all-purpose fertilizer would be something like a 10-10-10. It's pretty high, though, and everything. But I think they're talking about when you're starting off a garden.
Yeah.
You just leave.
Now, is that for a big garden or does it really matter?
No, it makes no difference. Yeah. I mean, if we were trying to get this table size of grass to grow, see, we're going to put it on the fertilizer.
It
just means that you don't have to buy as much.
Yes.
That's all it means if it's a massive garden to a small garden. And obviously, if you've got a really big garden, I know our very own Michelle and her husband, Dennis, are busy doing they've got a beautiful home in Scarborough, and they're busy working underneath. But Dennis is pretty good. Dennis has gone down to the horse field and spoken, and he's got some manure, and he's dug it all in. And, you know, it's you got to let that break down because the other catches you think – so compost is a wonderful product. And clients plant, and then you see the plant's not doing so well, and you think, and the client says, oh, but I put lots of compost in the hole, and actually, that's the problem. You've put too much compost in, and you've put your root right on top of the compost without mixing it in, and basically, you've actually burnt your root system. So, like, everything's good, but you have to have balance, and I believe in mixing in. So
and we need rain.
100%.
We need rain, and the weather we have in,
you know. Yeah, we've had some good weather. It's really, really dry and colder for June. Going into July, though.
Well, maybe it's going to happen in July.
It will
happen. But if you just tuned in, good morning, Khuyamore, and welcome. We are busy with the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspirations.
Thank you, Sue. So what I'm going to do now, Sue, is I'm just going to go through it a bit quickly because I see we've got about 10 more minutes, and I just want to sort of give everybody a general idea of it. And then, you know, as what we can always do with this wonderful show is we can call back in and chat again, you know, down the line. So basically, We were discussing the fertilizers, so nitrogen helps this, the root, the vitamin, we've already spoken about that. So if your soil is sandy or clay-based, then you may want to use a fertilizer that has a more phosphorus as well as a higher NPK value. Sandy soils don't hold much nutrients, as we know. So that's the problem we've had this side of the world. And they often need more nitrogen than clay-based soils do. But obviously clay-based soils have their issues as well. You know, they're a bit smoggy. They hold on to things a bit too much. So if you're growing flowers or fruit trees, then it is best to use a slower release type of fertilizer, such as an Osmocoto slow release granular fertilizer, which works great when used in conjunction with organic mulches like straw or pine needles, which provides some extra nutrients while also holding in moisture around the base of your plant. I always talk about mulch. Mulch is a really good thing to do for all gardens. You know, I always try and encourage my clients to leave leaves in the bed, and you'll see in the forest how beautiful everything is. It becomes a process. But that breakdown process is actually creating organic fertilizer in its own way. You know, when a leaf breaks down, it causes nitrogen, and then the plants obviously absorb it like that too. There are many types of fertilizer available, and each one has its strengths and weaknesses. For instance, liquid fertilizers, which, you know, I talk about too, which I love, work quickly but are often expensive, can be hard to apply evenly. Pelleted fertilizers are easy to apply but evenly, but may take longer for the nutrients to become available for the plants. So I put some organic one down, and my guys clumped a bit too much, and I've actually caught a cackle. It's been clumped now for about 3 weeks. So I kind of actually had to go and just move it around a bit. So, you know, it's very important, again, applying it. You can actually get a wonderful little, it's like a wheelbarrow shoe, like a little holding thing. And you put the fertilizer in it, and as you walk, it's got like two little spinning arms on it.
It turns it for you.
And it literally disperses it evenly.
Oh, really?
And amazing. Yeah, and you kind of do like a grid pattern.
Is this,
you know, especially if you're doing big lawns and
is
that.
Is this a wheelbarrow?
It's a wheelbarrow, but it's not a wheelbarrow. It's like a rectangular box on top that's probably a half a meter by 30 centimeters,
it's
deep.
It's fertilizer.
And you throw fertilizer in it.
My word.
And you walk with it, and the fertilizer falls through, and then it hits these metal arms that disperse it evenly around the area. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but again, it's that machine's been designed to evenly disperse the fertilizer, you know. So you got to know, but that's it.
I didn't know that. You see, you learn every day.
You learn every day. What was it I saw the other day? But I can't remember now. But it was, technology and the world we live in is amazing. But yet we still can't get cell phone signal in Scarborough. It's terrible. When deciding which type of fertilizer might be best, we've just said, might be the kind of plants you have and what their needs are. And that we've always discussed that. Preparation is key to anything, as we know, Sue. So you got to know what you're looking for.
Yes.
Anything that flowers profusely and at a long time was going to need more fertilizer, like an annual. Which we spoke about 2 weeks ago, that you put on for color. You know, you would need to feed that regularly over a shorter period, because it will die eventually, and then you change it out. So what these are, the fertilizers, there are numerous methods of delivering nutrients to your plants. Many gardeners employ a variety of fertilizing strategies in their garden. To address minor deficiencies or immediately stimulate development, try employing granular goods or manures to offer the key nutrients in water. Understanding what nutrients your plants require is crucial when choosing a fertilizer. Plants require nutrients to flourish, which they acquire through their root system from the soil. Fertilizers feed plants with the major nutrients, which are the NPK, the nitrogen, the phosphorus, and the potassium, as well as crucial minor elements. The soil's productive capability decreases with each harvest unless nutrients are supplemented. There are some amazing farms around the world, and what they do is they farm a certain product, and then for 2 to 3 months, so for example, I saw up here in the field, they put sunflowers, and they let the sunflowers come up, and then work and flower, and then they let them die back, and then they turn them into the soil. And what they're doing there is they're re-nutrifying, because the sunflower roots are actually one of the best plants to provide nutrients back to the soil. It's actually quite amazing.
Okay.
So if you get your crops right. So I'm going to very quickly just read the types of fertilizers, and then the two different types, and then So in general, there are two common types of fertilizers. They include organic and inorganic fertilizers. I think that's pretty obvious. And organic fertilizers, these are made from natural materials such as manure, compost, and peat moss. Organic fertilizers are generally easier on the environment, but they are slower acting than chemical fertilizers, and they can cost more money. Some organic fertilizers have special properties that help to condition soil and improve its structure over time. Organic fertilizers are derived from plant or animal sources. They provide nutrients for plants through decomposition. The most common organic fertilizer is composting material from an animal source, such as manure or composted chicken litter. This type of fertilizer helps retain moisture in the soil and adds essential nutrients to it. It also provides a habit for beneficial insects like earthworms that aerate the soil and improve its drainage capacity by bringing down deep-rooted plants from the topsoil layer to the subsoil layer, where it can be accessed by the roots of most plants. Organic fertilizers are generally considered more environment friendly than synthetic ones because they don't pollute the soil or groundwater like chemicals might. However, a fertilizer can be harmful to your plants if used incorrectly. As we know, anything can be harmful to you if it's used incorrectly. You have to know how much fertilizer to use as well as when to and how to apply it. And that's why a phone call, the nursery, whatever you need. And then, I've got quite a few lists here. So I think what we must do, Sue, is we might...
Can carry it over.
Yeah, I think we'll carry it over. We'd like to... We didn't really talk about what to do at the beginning of June this year. So I think this month. So maybe we'll do a quick brief in July. As we know, everything's a bit dormant out there now. Yeah. So it's pretty straightforward stuff. And then I will just keep this up. And then what we'll do is we'll just recap the types of inorganic fertilizers and then just give you a bit of a breakdown.
It is important because, you know, we've got our listeners listening at different times. So, you know, I mean, it's
yeah, 100%.
Someone can share their knowledge.
Yeah, we need two hours. No, I'm teasing.
But when Jeremy comes back, then you can break it down into detail. You know,
we can do that. But it's always lovely seeing you, Sue.
Yes, it is.
How's the hospital go? Did you go well? No, not yet.
We're going to have
to wait. Love and think of you all the time, as you
thank
know.
You.
Cool.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, guys.
David, do you want to give out your details?
Yeah, definitely. So it's David from Budding Inspirations, 073-247-0351.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in 2 weeks time.
Thanks, Sue. Thank you, David. Ciao, ciao.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humann's Garden Center.
Hi. I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humann's Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humann's Garden Center.